1 Kings 19:15-17. But before I get to those verses, let me remind you of where we have reached. Elijah, this man of God, God has used him mightily at Cherith, at Zarephath, at Carmel. He has confronted Ahab. He has stood for God. But this man has been broken down, depressed, lonely. He feels the burden of it. And he's cried out to God. He says, I've been very zealous for you, Lord. You're the Lord God Almighty. I have been very zealous for you. Oh, I'm surrounded by the Israelites who have forgotten your covenant, rejected it, broken your law, cast it aside, broken down your altars, gone to the false prophets, and I'm the only one left, and they want to kill me too. Lord, take my life. I've had enough of it. And God has dealt with this man in his mercy and his grace and his goodness. He's taken him through steps of common sense. He's taken him away. He's spoken to him, and he has reminded him of this and that and the other and dealt with him in his problems and issues and in his lowness. But still, Elijah is cast down. But God addresses him in that sadness. Before I get to today's verses, let me read to you something a correspondent, a friend from Seattle, sent to me. He's been listening to this, and this is what he sent from A.W. Tozer. The Christian, the genuine Christian, realizes he is indeed a lonely soul in the middle of a world that affords him no fellowship. I contend that if the Christian breaks down on occasion and lets himself go in tears, he ought not to feel that he is weak. It is a normal loneliness in the midst of a world that has disowned him. He has to be a lonely man. Let me repeat that last line. He has to be a lonely man. Standing for God, I can prove it from the prophets. Look at the Lord Jesus. Standing for God makes a man, a woman, lonely. Look at Paul. They've all deserted me, he said. They've all deserted me and fled. They've gone. Did not the disciples flee from Christ and desert him? You will all leave me alone, he said. Yes, my brother, yes, my sister. Do not think that loneliness is a mark of God's displeasure. It might be quite the opposite. The sense that you're standing for God. But Elijah is depressed, and God deals with him. Now this is what happens in these verses, 19:15-17. The Lord said to Elijah, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. I leave it there. God does go on to say in verse 18, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him. But I'll leave that last verse to a separate discourse. So if this is Elijah's cure, work. Now let me make a very important point here. God is not addressing an unbeliever and saying the way of salvation is work for it. Not at all. Elijah is not an unbeliever. He is a believer. He's a depressed believer, and God has ministered to him. I've gone over it, how he has dealt with this man. And it's only at the end that then God says to him, now get up, Elijah, get back to your work, and get on with it. Do you see what God is saying now? Stop sitting here, drifting, moping, nasal-gaving. Don't stay here, wasting your life, just looking at the wall of the cave or whatever. I remember Jeff Thomas writing in the Evangelical Times many years ago about preachers beavering away at small tasks, getting nowhere, doing nothing. I feel the force of that here. Elijah has to get up again, get back again, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. You see, God is still sovereign, and there's a doing to be done by his servant. You see, it's this synergism again. We have to act, but God is acting. Stop moping, you see. Now, brother and sister, is this a word for you? Is it a word for me? Well, the task is difficult, and I'm lonely. He has to be a lonely man, remember? Yes. Loneliness is the path. Well, men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. Yes, that's true. The master praises. What are men? Yes, go labor on, spend and be spent. It is your joy to do the master's will. It is the way the master went. Should not the servant tread it still? You remember Bunyan? He was lost in Bypath Meadow. He had to retrace his steps. Oh, yes, things are bad, Elijah. Oh, they certainly are. But don't sit here groping around, moping about in your pride, your anger, your resentment, your sense of failure and fear. Okay, now go on. Don't drift and be idle. I'm still acting. Now, in this passage here, it's about these various men. Go back and anoint Hazael and Jehu and Elisha. And it's all about judgment. They're put to death this and they're put to death that. But it's not all judgment. In the next discourse, it'd be verse 18, it'd be mercy. Yet I reserve to myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. Judgment and mercy. God is still acting, you see. You see, it's not deism. You know what deism is? It's God made the universe like a clock. He wound it up and then he threw the key away and he stands back and just lets it tick on. No, God is active. He was active in the days of Noah, in the days of Jonah. He was active at Pentecost. He was active at Calvary. He's active in judgment and in mercy. But here are the passages, judgment, and it is a powerful judgment. Hazael will have to put to death those that I appoint, and Jehu will go on with the work, and Elisha will go on with it too. I will have judgment upon this people. God has seen it, you see. You're not the only one, Elijah. I've seen what they're doing to my covenant, and I take it seriously too. God knows what's going on in the UK, US, or wherever it might be at this very moment, brother and sister. He's not standing by idly, twiddling his thumbs. God is active, and we have our part to play. Now, I'm not Elijah, and nor are you, and yet we are told we're like him in passions, and he's like us. We're weak, oh yes, and God uses the weak and the feeble and the foolish to do his work. Now, this discourse is about judgment, but it's not the complete story. But Elijah has to work, and part of that work is judgment. John 3:18-19, 2 Thessalonians 1:6-12, look at verse 8, judgment. Judgment with Christ coming back, condemnation. And God has his instruments, and God has his plans and his tools and his men. God raises this man for this time. It's like Esther, you know. He's come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we are engaged in it too, part of our ministry, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We don't peddle the word of God for nothing. For some were the aroma of life, but some were the aroma of death, were the stench of death. This is what the gospel is, judgment and mercy. But the weapons of our warfare, of course, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, are not carnal, not swords. No, it's not a physical death, but it's spiritual preaching, spiritual discipline, prayer. And the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It does pierce. Look at Psalm 2, verses 9 to 12. The Lord will have them in derision, you know. And the counsel of Psalm 2, God speaking to sinners there, is kiss the Son, embrace Christ while there is still time, for his wrath can kindle in a moment, and he will bless all who take refuge in Christ. But those who are outside of him, he will dash to pieces like a potter's vessel. Oh yes, God is a God of judgment. Now Elijah is being told all this. This is the cure for Elijah. Get up and get on, Elijah. Do your work, because I'm still working. Yes, they have broken my covenant. Yes, they have smashed my altars. Yes, I know what's going on, and I'm going to work in the midst of this. And of course, Elijah, although he doesn't know it, has a great future. He's going to go to heaven in a chariot. Malachi is going to prophesy about him. John the Baptist comes into the world, the Mount of Transfiguration, and maybe one of the two witnesses in the Revelation. No, he's not finished yet. He has a work to do. There's a work for Jesus, brother and sisters, none but you can do. Are you wasting your time? Are you drifting about? Are you seeing all the difficulties? Well, they're there. But look at God. God is still sovereign. He is working his purpose out. Judgment and mercy. Today it's been judgment. And I warn you again, unbeliever, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This is the day of salvation. Do you not realize the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? Then come to him now while there is still time. But brother and sister, let's be up and doing for God. Not to earn our salvation, but to serve God because he has saved us and to be part and parcel of his purpose. And God has a purpose still, even in this fallen world. May we rise from our depression and lowness and delusions about our uselessness. Well, yes, we are useless, but God is still powerful. God is still on the throne, and let us go on and serve him. I am the Lord God Almighty. Let's go and serve him then, now, for Christ's sake. Amen.